Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. This is the godschool.com. For those of you who might be listening by shortwave, the God School is 14 years worth of teaching from God's Word. And the response from the shortwave radio broadcast has been next to nothing. Are there no Christians out there listening who have an ear to hear God's word? And having an ear, which is a gift of God, having a spirit, you don't respond to the word of God that is being taught? I'm amazed. Having said that, I want to get back to the teaching. I think for the next several weeks, we are going to be talking, teaching from God's Word, some basic Christianity out of Paul's epistle to the Romans. Years ago, at the God School, I made a statement that shocked some of those who were in attendance. And that statement was, you cannot be a Christian unless you know you're a sinner. So, in this series, we're going to be talking about, from Paul's teaching, about sin and its consequences, and the gospel and its results. I want to start out in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. No, let's start with the last verse of chapter 6 of Romans, which says, for the wages of sin, death, but the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Paul opens, now no chapter and verse with Paul, but as he continues, he says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. I would say, are you ignorant of that fact? It says, for the woman which has an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So if then, while her husband lives, she be married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Because of this, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the passions of sins were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Paul here is telling us the results of being married to the law. The Jews at that time were married to the law. And Paul is trying to give us a vision of what we now have, being married not to the law, but to Christ. How is that possible? Well, the law died with Christ. And Christ, having been raised, now becomes our husband, the church. Paul's going to give an argument. He says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? King James says, God forbid. The literal is, no, never. He says, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, concupiscence, an alternative. It's desires, it's fleshly desires, it's desires for that which is forbidden, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, or the law, wrought in me all manner of desire. For without the law, sin was dead. I had no idea about sin without the law. Now, there are many commentators who would have you think that somehow or other Paul is talking about his life before Christ met him on the Damascus Road, and that after that conversion, this was all past testimony. No, folks, this is present. This is now. This is happening right now in Paul's life as he is writing this letter. This is happening right now in my life. This is happening right now in your life. I want you to hear this voice that God appointed for the church. His testimony about his life in the flesh. Continuing, for without the law, sin was dead, for I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment, the law came, sin revived. And I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found unto death. What commandment is that? That if you fulfill the law, every jot and tittle of it, you live. Leviticus 18:5. But Paul says, that which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Why does he say that? For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. I thought that I was living it, and therefore I would live. But that was a deception. The law was designed to show man no one save Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could perform all the law. How many Christians today think that they're going to stand before Christ Jesus and say, look at the life I lived. Let me in those pearly gates. I deserve it. Because they think they perform by the law. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me. And slew me. Because of this, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Paul asked the question, was then that which is good made death unto me? Again, no, never should it be. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. The law, if you really knew it, is like a mirror. And as we look, we find that we don't measure up. That's, you know, the Greek word in the New Testament for sin is hamartia. It means to come short of. I don't care whether it's an inch or a mile. And when we get exposed to the law and we see our shortfallen condition, we say, oh, but I'll start today. I won't do this anymore, and I won't do that anymore, and I will do this, and I will do that. That's the deception. That's the deception. So, death and dead and being slain are words used in these first 13 verses. There are different, a little different words, but they're all synonyms. Dead. Dead. You know, when I was a younger man in this journey of faith, I had occasion to attend a local Baptist church in the city I lived in. And I would go to the Bible studies, and they were studying the Gospel of John. And they were in the fifth chapter. They came to the 25th verse. Wherein it says, verily, verily, and just for those of you keeping score, the Greek is amen, amen. There's no doubt about this. Jesus speaking. The hour is coming. And now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And in this Bible study, I looked at the crowd, and I said, you know what this is saying? If you're hearing the word of God, it's saying you're all dead. And they were horrified at that statement. That was the beginning of me telling the truth from God's word. And it wasn't too long after they asked me, Don, please don't come back. You're disturbing the brethren. Disturbing the brethren by teaching the word of God? You know, we're in a day and age where the truth is hard to find. That's why we're just better off staying in God's word, wherein God reveals himself, wherein of which Jesus said, thy word is truth. And a synonym for that word aletheia in the Greek, truth is thy word is reality. The way it is. That sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful, for we know that the law is spiritual. But I, Paul speaking, am carnal, sold under sin. Paul here is making a distinction between the spirit and the flesh. And he's telling you what the flesh is. And we're going to get to what the spirit is. Now he's going to tell you about the flesh and the spirit. And he says, for that, which I do allow, for that which I do allow not, for what I would do, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. You ever find this conflict in your life? That which you do, you would not. And that which you would not do, you find yourself doing. Let's continue. For what I would, folks, I speak to those members of the family of faith that you would understand that when Paul says, for what I would, God is the one that puts the water, if you will, in us. For what I would, that I do not. God gives that water to those he has called. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. That law ordained unto life. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Remember, this is Paul speaking of his present condition. This is Don speaking of his present condition. This is God's word speaking to your present condition. But sin that dwelleth in me, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. We can go all the way back to those opening chapters of Genesis, wherein God tells Adam and Eve, don't eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you do, you'll die. And Satan comes along, tempting, and says, now wait a minute. God really didn't mean you'll die. He knows that when you eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, now you'll know what's good and know what's evil. He says, then you'll be like God. And they trusted Satan. And were removed from the presence of God, who is the source of life. You know, the best analogy at this moment I can use, I play golf. And I've been playing it for 50 years. I caddied for 10 years before I started playing golf. And I knew the game when I started playing, and I knew what was required to play good golf, and I still know, but today I'm 70 years old, and I know, but the ability to perform not up to snuff. Here's the message. Knowledge and power are two different things. Think on that. Oh, if you have knowledge of good and evil, you'll be like God. Yeah, but you're not going to have the power. All power is in God. That's what makes God, God. If the devil had more power than God, then he'd be God. But thank God she's not. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And this is part one of a series on basic Christianity from the God School.